So today I was thinking of speaking about dealing with difficulty. Things like difficult emotions and feelings, but could even be physical pain, or a response to physical pain. Things like the aversion that might arise or the not wanting, but also just things like anger or frustration or sadness or anxiety, I think, might experience in our daily lives or on the cushion. And it's something that we all experience, of course, regularly. And sometimes we might feel a little stuck in it. And then we can wonder for ourselves what kind of strategies are we using when we get stuck in certain emotions or feelings. Like to try to push it away or try to ignore, try to just suffer through it. And what kind of ways are we dealing, using to deal with them? And maybe you have very skillful ways that you can deal with your emotions. And tonight I want to offer one way that we can use when difficulty arises. And the method that I'd like to introduce is the acronym RAIN. Maybe some of you have heard of that. And this acronym was first introduced by Tara Brach. And since then, it's been like used by so many teachers, and there's been different versions of it. Yeah, each of these letters can stand for various different things because of so many teachers changing it all the time. And so we're going to look at these letters and what they stand for and how they can help us. And so I'll just go over the real quick, and then I'll go in depth into each letter. And so the R often stands for recognize. It can also stand for receive. The A stands for accept often. So you can also use allow. The I stands for investigate. We can also use interest. The N, Tara Brach now uses nurture sometimes, or she started off with non-identification. And some teachers say maybe we can use nature. And so that's the acronym real quick. And then I'll start with the R. So recognize. This is kind of like a basic skill in our meditation to recognize what is happening. Because if we don't really recognize what is happening, then you know there's nothing much else we can do, right? That's really the basic thing that we need. Start recognizing. And you know, this is just general. This is not only for the difficult emotions, but when we have a difficult feeling or emotion arising, then it can be really helpful and freeing to actually recognize it correctly. Like recognize, oh wait, I'm sad. And if we then see it so clearly, like it's sadness or it's anger or frustration, then sometimes this already brings a little bit of space. Just a simple act of recognizing can bring a little bit of space so that it doesn't feel as sticky anymore, as like we're into it. And this might seem a little simpler than it actually is, because often what we do as human beings is push our emotions away. That's our first kind of line of defense. So we don't really want to feel these unpleasant things. So even getting to the stage of recognizing, you know, is already a really big step. That requires a certain amount of willingness to open to this unpleasantness that is happening. And it requires some honesty. And there's this Thai forest monk, Ajahn Sumedho. He has this very simple phrase, it's like this now. Like simply, you know, it's like this now. Yeah. It can be a little recognition mantra we can use. It's like this now. And so that's the R of recognizing. And we can also use this as receiving. So receiving what is happening can be an entrance as well. Receiving, because that really offers us some space. Receiving. It's not going out there, not trying to get something or fix something, or but just simply kind of leaning back and receiving. So sometimes we can use recognize, sometimes we can use receive for the R, whatever we feel like is most helpful in that moment. And then the second letter, the A, accepts. Usually accept is the word. But we can also use allow, because accept can be kind of like this doing, as if there's something to do, that something, like as if we can accept something consciously, because if you try, like, let me accept this anger, then it usually doesn't really work like that, right? So allowing can sometimes be an easier word, like, oh, let me allow this anger. Okay, it's not pleasant, but I can at least allow it, even though it's like difficult. And so this tendency, what I was talking about, to push this difficulty away, this automatic tendency, that can really be counteracted by this allowing attitude. We're not pushing away anymore when we allow. And that's why this step is so important, the step of allowing, or if accepting works for you, you can use accepting too, of course. Oh, because if we recognize that this anxiety is present, but we still kind of have this tendency to push it away, okay, it's there, but pushing, yeah, that's not so helpful. So if we start allowing, it can really be, yeah, transformative. Really recognizing this unpleasantness, allowing the unpleasantness, because that's what's so difficult about it, the unpleasantness. It's hard to experience unpleasantness. And this opening, this allowing, might be even sometimes feel counterintuitive, because we just don't want to feel, we just don't want to experience this. But once we start this practice of allowing, of this, yeah, this accepting, allowing, then we start to experience that it actually has a healing effect. And to start this, it might be useful to start with something small, like something that's not as big, like if we, if the traffic light turns orange right when we come to the intersection and we feel this frustration, oh, now I have to wait. And the traffic lights in Richmond here seem to be super long, like taking forever to jump to green. So, we can practice, yeah, let me allow this unpleasantness of having to wait here. And just these we can practice with these small things. And that allowing helps us to let this emotion, this feeling, just run its own course. Like, it has its own timing. It's not like when we say it needs to go away, that it goes away. It goes away whenever it wants to go away. So allowing that, allowing this to run its own course at its own pace. And even like when we don't allow, we might recognize also, like, if we've been working all day, a stressful job, and we come at home and we feel all these knots in our shoulders and we feel like, ugh, that it's build up kind of not allowing, probably not allowing the stress to happen, not allowing the aversion and the difficulty. And then we have the I, the letter I in rain, which can mean investigate. Sometimes also people use interest. And so once we've recognized what's happening, we've allowed it, we can start investigating it. And there are several ways in which we can use this investigation, this interest. And one is to tune into what it feels like in the body. So if we feel this emotion and we can feel in the body, oh, wait, I feel this knot in my stomach, or I feel this tension in my throat, or this tightness in my chest, or maybe you feel electricity running through your limbs, or whatever it is. It's different for everyone, and it will be different also at different times. And emotions and feelings are part of the mind, officially, in the Buddhist way of seeing it. But they often do express in the body. We often can feel them in the body, and it can be a really good entrance to working with them. And it's really about like looking, noticing, like what is present in this moment in the body. Like the example of the stoplight again, like when I have that, I sometimes can feel my eyebrows, like my eyebrows could cringe. I can feel like the tension in my stomach. Like if I feel, even if it's just a simple little bit of irritation, it's just a tiny bit of irritation, we can already feel that in the body. And so that's investigating the bodily component of the emotion or the feeling. And we can also look at the mental component. What kind of thoughts are involved? Sometimes it's just kind of the arising of beliefs and thoughts that make that the emotion just keeps going, and even that the emotion arises in the first place. Like the light shouldn't be red right now. I should be able to continue my journey. These kind of shoulds and shouldn'ts are kind of red flags, usually. It should be different than it is. I remember once when I was it was in often had to go by bus from from one place to the station, like every day, and then I had to catch my train at the station, and the bus would often be stuck in traffic, and I would be kind of like super annoyed and super stressed out. Am I gonna make it to the train on time? And the train would only go every 30 minutes, so I really wanted to catch a certain train to be home in time. And then when I was investigating it, I realized, like, oh, wait, this is just a lot of dukkha, a lot of suffering, a lot of unsatisfactoriness. Well, there's nothing I can do about it. It's just whether I'm stressing out or not, this I'm going to catch my train or not. So this investigation could really help me to see, oh, wait, this actually doesn't make so much sense. So the mind kind of let go because of seeing that clearly. And this investigation can help us seeing those patterns, seeing why are we stressed out, why are we angry, how does it work in the mind, what kind of thoughts contribute to it, this cycle or this spiral that we can get into by thinking and emotions and thinking and emotions and thinking and emotions. And we can start to see how that all interacts and what kind of beliefs might be underneath it. And sometimes when we have a certain mood or emotion, we can also start to see how it colors the rest of our experience. And we start investigating it, start seeing it clearly, like being stressed out in that bus, and then like getting a text message from someone that's normally maybe somewhat neutral kind of feels annoying right now. Why is this person texting me? So we can start to see how our emotions are coloring more than just that one thing that we might be emotional about, whether it's anger or sadness or frustration. And the same accounts for if we're happy, then we see everything in a happy lens, right? It's kind of the lenses that we look through. And so we can investigate the body, and we can investigate the mind. And then one other way to investigate is to ask questions. So this is kind of an interesting way. It's the asking of questions is not about getting an answer right away, but it's about dropping in a question to the mind body heart system, and then just see what happens. Not expecting any answer to come, not wanting an answer to come, but just letting the unconscious work with the question. So it's kind of like the mind is chewing on it in the background. And in that way, kind of an intuitive or more heartfelt response might arise. Instead of like this cognitive intellectual thing that we can kind of think about something and, oh yeah, it's like that or it's like that, but not really feeling it, not really like, not really grounded in the body or in the heart. And some questions that we might consider maybe dropping in is, you know, what makes the distress arisen? Or what causes and conditions led to the arising of this emotion? What's the response of the mind, heart, body in response for this emotion, for this situation? Maybe if we're familiar with the hindrances, we can check in like, oh, what kind of hindrances are present? Or we can drop in a question, what is the most skillful way to navigate this? And so we can let the question arise, like what kind of question there needs to be. There can be all sorts of questions to get more insight into this situation or to this emotion. And then we might find that we're angry with our partner because we want them to respond in a certain way, or we want them to be a certain way. Or we're angry at the stoplight because we're in a hurry, simply. And this meditation teacher, Susie Harrington, she says, sometimes as you do this, so use this eye of investigation, you may find that your experience becomes more intense. This is okay. This is in fact a good thing. As you give yourself permission, you're creating sacred space to allow yourself to fully feel what's here. So we can really allow ourselves to fully feel what is here through this investigation. And so this investigation is a very useful tool. And we don't have to use it all the time, but it's something we can, it's kind of one of our tools in our toolbox. We can kind of experiment with it, see when it's helpful and when it's maybe less helpful. Just try it out whenever you feel like, oh, maybe this situation can use some investigation. And so sometimes this I stands for interest as well, which is, you know, kind of similar to investigation, but it's kind of a softer word maybe. Have some interest though. Interest, curiosity. So if that's a more appealing word, then you can use that word as well if you, you know, feel like. And sometimes there's even the word intimacy that people use in being intimate with the whatever is arising. So just to name these other words that might resonate better for you. Sometimes, you know, words can be kind of specific for people. And then the last letter of RAIN is the N. And this can stand for non-identification, nurture, or nature. And I heard that Tara Brach got so many questions around non-identification, so many confused people, and that she changed it to nurture. because, you know, the meaning of non-identification might be a little less intuitive than nurture. So, yeah, I think that even though it might be a little less intuitive, non-identification can be really helpful, a really helpful way of looking at things. So I'll explain it a little bit. So all of our experience is kind of like this flow of changing phenomena. It's like what I said in the meditation with the sky holding all these little clouds coming through. We're like the big sky. And, you know, there's, it's not that we are the little clouds. The clouds just pass through. And we don't have to say, oh, it's my cloud. No, it's just a cloud passing through. And because it's so changeable, all these phenomena, like all these little things that happen to us that that are arising, yeah, they arise and they pass away, like the arising of the anger. And we know from experience that this anger was going to dissolve again, because the last time we were angry, it's probably also dissolved. And we know from experience that when there's pain in the body, it might dissolve again, unless we have some sort of chronic condition. But for most of the things that arise in the body, it will also pass again. And the Buddha said, often asked the monks in the suttas, that which is subject to change, can that be self? And then the monks would answer, no, sir. And so we can tap into that. That what changes is not self. It's not an everlasting, unchanging self. This anger or this frustration or this sadness. And we can remind ourselves, it's just changing phenomena happening. It's not my whole self. Even though it might feel in the moment that it's gonna last forever, we can remind ourselves, oh wait, maybe it's not lasting forever. It might be a time that we feel ease again and happiness and wonderful feelings. And on the other way around, we also think that maybe sometimes when we're happy that that's gonna last forever. And it also changes, unfortunately. So we can see those change, those states of mind as visitors arriving and passing at their own time. And there's this this poem, I didn't bring it this time, but by Rumi, where he describes this guest house where these different guests come, like happiness and sadness and depression and all these different guests come, and you know, we just let all the guests in and we know they're gonna disappear at some point again. So and so that's the non-identification part. And then I want to touch into the nurture part that Tara Brach now uses. And then if we use that and in that way, in nurture way, and then we can tap into this innate quality that we all have to nurture ourselves. And we could, for example, offer ourselves some metta, some loving kindness. We'll end the evening with a short metta, a few metta phrases. So if you're not familiar with it, you get a sense maybe at the end. Like, may I be well or happy. A little bit of this well wishes for ourselves. Or we can tell ourselves, it's okay. I'm here for you. You're here for yourself. So that's the nurture part. And then to touch into the nature part real briefly. This is something that my teacher Sayadaw Utejaniya often talks about, nature. Everything is just nature, is what he says. He says it's the nature of anger to be angry. It's the nature of sadness to be sad. The nature of happiness to be happy. And of wisdom to be wise. So we can just let these emotions do their thing. It's just their nature. We don't have to fight it or do anything with it. And that helps also to take it less personally, like what we're talking about with the non-identification. It might help us to just be with it. And this nature thing can also help us to see this arising and passing away, just phenomena arising and passing away according to their nature. The natural for emotions and feelings to arise, we all have them. And just like it's natural for a storm to pass through the sky, if there's a storm, we're not gonna like fight that, like, oh, I shouldn't be here. It's just like, yeah, that's the way it is right now. I'll quote Sayadaw, quotation here. As your awareness becomes more and more continuous, you will notice that there are as many minds as there are objects. After some time, you will realize that this is just nature at work, that it has got nothing to do with quote-unquote you, that there are just mental and physical processes. As long as we do not understand that mind and object are just natural phenomena, we will believe that there is an I who is observing. So these are the four steps of RAIN. Recognize, accept, investigate, and non-identify, to name only the main ones. And so if we want to use this, then we don't have to go through each of these steps every time. Well, maybe we need recognizing all the time because that's the basis. And from there on, you can see, oh, what do I actually need? Do I need to go to accepting or allowing first, and then to investigating and then non-identifying? Or maybe the non-identifying part might be interesting to look at right now. Or maybe there's only the allowing is needed, or only the investigate. It's kind of like a playful thing. We can look at and see what we need. Sometimes it's very useful to go through all of them, and sometimes it's less useful. It's really something we can play with and experiment with and see what works. Yeah, so let me end with another quote from Sayadaw Odishinya. This is a little bit paraphrasing for clarity. He says, meditation is whatever is happening, good or bad, accept, relax, and just watch it.